couldn't help but notice how deeply Roy seemed to be looking into Tiny's eyes as he was singing with her. That was a very powerful scene to behold, brother. Bunny used to sing that song with our girls when they were very young. Of course, you recognize the verses come directly out of Psalms 19, the psalm that extols God's speaking to us. In the first half of the psalm, it deals with the stars in the heavens that He has placed there that we might read what He has written in the heavens. And the Bible makes it clear that He speaks to us in a language that everyone can understand. And so tonight, if you're able to see the stars for the cloud cover, look up at those heavens and read what the Lord has written in a language that we can all understand. And then He goes into the second half and He speaks about the Word of God, the testimonies of God, and the power of those testimonies. And Sarah and Bunny just sang to that end, using those lyrics, how powerful God's Word, making wise the simple, able to convert the soul. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God. It is the dunamis of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Oh, what we have when the Word of God. You know, this may be a short message this morning. I think I'm going to put my notes away for a little bit. I was going to speak to you this morning from 3 John, but based upon three things that happened this morning, two of which you just heard and witnessed, those two beautiful songs. I don't know how they came about or why they came about as they did, but I'm thankful for them both. Those that sang them, the words that they sang, the pictures that they gave to us, and an experience I had in trying to get to church this morning. Which affords me a good illustration to use for a message this morning. I want to take just one verse of Scripture then and speak from it a little bit, and entwine in these thoughts and words of the Lord Jesus Christ the things that we have seen this morning and heard. In Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16, we might begin by reading verse 15 as well. This people's heart is waxed gross or fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our thoughts this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this new year. We have no idea what the year will hold. We know and are confident and are comforted in knowing that thou dost know. And it is in thee that we trust, dear Father. Help us to trust thee more, day by day, moment by moment. Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. We think about these words, these very pregnant words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would help us speak from them to our prophet as we stand at the beginning of this another year. We don't know if we will survive this year. We don't know what the year holds, but thou dost know. We know this, that we have been given this day in this new year. And we pray, Father, that you give us eyes to see. Oh, give us eyes to see, dear Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray for those in need today, dear Father. Thou dost know where we are. You know what our needs are. You know what our condition is. We pray, Father, you'd speak to us this day from your word. Bless our hearts with your Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit would probe around in our hearts and touch us, move upon us, bend our resilient, stiff wills and necks to your Spirit, dear Lord, and your word. Whatever time you allow us in this year, Father, we pray that we would do better than we did in the year just past, that we'd be more faithful, that we would glorify you more, that we'd be more obedient, that we'd be more useful in your service, that we'd show more love, more compassion, more forgiveness than we have in the year just gone by. Help us, we pray, in these things. Bless the needs of the sick, dear Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I was scurrying around trying to get ready to come to church and using my time as wisely as I could and get the last-minute details taken care of, I was right on track until I went out the door and realized that I didn't have the key to the van. And so I ran back in the house and looked in all the appropriate places where the keys to the van might be. Roy's nodding his head. He's had that problem. And I looked in the basket where all the keys are, and they weren't there. I looked in Bunny's room because she had the keys last and drove the van last, and they weren't there. I looked on my dresser, and they weren't there. I went back to the key basket and they weren't there. And so, a little bit miffed, I picked up the phone and dialed my wife. And she answered with these words, "Do I have the van keys?" I said, "Yes, I think you do." She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm almost at the church. I'll come and get you." And so I thought I would make good use of the time. I sat in the old van with the door open and turned to my Sunday school lesson and began to pore over my notes a little bit, not wanting to waste the time that I now had on my hands. Finally, Bunny drove up with the van, the other van, and jumps out, and I ran over to it, and she's fumbling through her purse, and she said, I don't find them in here." And she said, "Are you sure you looked everywhere?" I said, "Well, I looked everywhere they're supposed to be, and they weren't there. But I'll go look again." So I went in the house, and the little basket right in front of the door that I had been through twice. And I reached in there, and the first thing that came into my hand was the keys to the van. I was mortified. I could have dropped through the floor. So embarrassed. How does that happen? How on earth does that happen? How can you look in a basket that contains the key that you're looking for, and look in it and rummage through it twice and not see it. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And I realized as I was driving to church, thinking that circumstance over, how very often that very sort of thing plays itself out in our lives. Roy and Tiny just celebrated their 52nd anniversary. They had a nice dinner, I understand, with their son. And on his nickel at that. How nice that is. What a wonderful thing. 52 years. You know, we as husbands, sometimes we can't find the keys. Sometimes we don't see what God has given to us. Do we, Roy? And you're not alone, brother. But this morning you were seeing that, weren't you? I could see that. He saw the keys. He saw what God had given him. He was thinking about those 52 years. Thank God you can see the keys. I'm thankful. Blessed are your eyes. Now they see. Oh, this year as we've come into this new year, brothers and sisters, let us pray that God will give us eyes to see what's in front of us. What God has given to us in giving us a mate. What God has given to us in giving us our children. I was looking at my wife and Sarah as they stood up here and sang. Oftentimes, I don't see her either one of them. Oh, little Sarah. Now grown up to be big Sarah, with a life of her own, a family of her own. How many times we pass and repass and don't really see little Sarah. God help us this year to see, to have eyes to see what the Lord has placed in front of us. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And I think about that key, and I think about the Word of God. Think about how many times we get in a situation where we are confounded, we don't have an answer, we have a problem in our life that we're facing, and we are at our wit's end, we're ready to give up, we're ready to run away, we're ready to fold up the game, and we need answers and we don't have them. And yet God has given us a key. He's given us a book full of answers. But we can't seem to find it. They're there like that key was there in the basket. And we sometimes are like a pilgrim on his journey, Christian on his journey in Pilgrim's Progress. When he got to that juncture in the road, you may remember the story, and the two roads parted, and you know, so many times we get to crossroads in our life, don't we? Where we come to a place where we have two choices to make. And we will sit there and do what Christian did. We'll look at the roads and we'll try to determine based upon our own thinking and our own observation which road we should take. And that's what he did. He had the map in his pocket. The map, of course, representing God's Word, the Scriptures, the truth. But he used his eyes and he used his brain and he tried to scrutinize the path that he should choose. And so he chose the one that looked like it would be the best. And it wasn't very long that he was in danger. It wasn't very long that he nearly lost his life. It wasn't very long that he found himself in dungeon despair. He was a captive. Oh, blessed are your eyes, for they see. This year, my friends, let us remember, we've just begun. We've got a clean slate right now. We haven't had an opportunity to make too many mistakes. We haven't had an opportunity to mess up too many things yet. And so let this be our prayer. God, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see in your word what it is that we need. We have a problem. We are faced with a conundrum. We are faced with a decision. We have to make a choice. And this is what I think, Lord, but what do you think? What is best? What does your word say? Let us have eyes to see the words of Scripture before we make those choices during this year. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Oftentimes, we can't seem to get where we need to go. That's the state I was in this morning. I needed to be here. I needed to be at church. I just couldn't get there. I had the vehicle, but I couldn't find the key. The key was there all the while, and so often that's the case. The key is right there, the key that we need. And if we will just get our hands on that key, we can put it in the ignition and we can get to where we want to go. But we must have the key. And so often we have it. We just don't put our hands on it. Oh, the key of prayer, the key of God's word. How often Jesus has given us the promise, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you, seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given to you. Those are not idle words, and God knows that we are faced day by day with conundrums that we cannot solve. I had a brother tell me recently, and he's asked me perhaps not to use his name for sake of embarrassing him, but I had a brother tell me recently that he asked the Lord to reveal something that he didn't know, ask him to reveal something in a dream to him so that he would know for sure what it was. And the Lord responded in this way. He didn't give him one dream or two. He gave him a half a dozen all the same, that it would be unmistakable. God means what he says, and so oftentimes we don't get the key in our hand. It's there. The key of prayer, oh, what a key it is. What a powerful thing, praying unto God. We think about all the accounts. Spurgeon in his devotion yesterday. How many of you read? I think it was the morning devotion, if I'm not mistaken, about prayer, the power of prayer. And he commented then in his devotion, the phrase from the book of Colossians, pray always, pray always, pray always. And he said, God has more to say about prayer than any other thing. And when God speaks often about something in his word, it's because it's important. And God knows that we need to seek him in prayer earnestly, not just through rote, empty words, but seek him passionately and seriously and earnestly and often, as the parable is given to us in the Scriptures of the widow who wouldn't leave that judge alone, who kept pleading and asking and begging again and again and again until the judge, the unjust judge even, relented and gave to her her petition. And so must we. We are faced every day with conundrums. And oh, how much we need the counsel of God, the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. We need eyes to be able to see. Help us to see the key in the basket, the key of prayer. I think about the things that we wonder oftentimes, you know, what is God's will for my life? What would God have me to do when right in front of us he has placed a need? He has placed somebody that is lost. He has placed somebody that is hurting. He has placed somebody who needs your help. And there they are, right in your path. I remember preaching, I think it was last year, around this time, at the end of the year or beginning of the new. I remember preaching on Hebrews chapter 12, run the race that is set before you. Oh, how those words last year jumped out at me. You know, the race that is set before us. And so often God has placed right before us, brothers and sisters, a need. Someone that you can bless with a word, with a deed. So often that someone might be a wife, might be a husband, might be a brother or sister. I think about what the scriptures say. I think about how often we take our spouses for granted. Not remembering that what the Bible teaches us. I remember Brother Pierce, and I've said to you, shared with you many times how it was now nearly 38 years, I think, ago. 38 years ago, I stood right here in this place, and Bunny stood right here with me, and this man preached our wedding, and he told me some things. My friend David Greenberg, that I was working for at the time, afterwards, he says, you are really married. No doubt you are really married. You have been hitched, brother. And he told me a lot of things, a lot of good counsel, and I remember much of it, and all of it, actually. I recite a lot of the counsel that he gave me each time I've had an opportunity to be in that situation with a young married couple or an older married couple that is being married. But one of the things he reminded me of, very serious, that an inheritance is from the Father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You think about that, husbands. God has given you a prudent wife. If she has come to you from God, then that says something about how we ought to view her and how we ought to treat her. And how we ought to deal with her. But sometimes our eyes can't see. Sometimes we forget what is right in front of us. We don't see it. We miss what God has done. We miss the power and the impact. And the same thing with our children and our grandchildren. What we have, we're looking for opportunities oftentimes, and I'm guilty, oftentimes looking for opportunities to bless somebody, to help somebody, when right in our own face is a grandchild that could use something that you have to offer, that I have to offer, and yet we don't see it. Our eyes are looking out there. We're not seeing the forest for the trees. And so here again, I see in the thoughts before us this morning, reminded as I looked at the eyes of Roy, looking intently into the eyes of his wife, knowing that often he did not see her. He did not see what was in front of him. He did not appreciate what was in front of him. And I have done the same thing. I have done the same thing often. I do the same thing every day. God, give me eyes to see this year what's in front of my face, that I might appreciate, that I might value, and that I might redeem the time that God has given me. We have no idea. I've said before and quoted before that the piece of wisdom that was given to me some years back by, of all people, an undertaker who was talking to me about buying a burial plot. And he's the one that told me those words that I've quoted so often about, and I think they're powerful, and you may remember them, about yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. And that's why they call it the present. And that's clever, and it's powerful, and it's true. But how often we forget, don't we, that today is a gift from God, a precious gift. We may not, it may be the only one He gives us this year. That could be true for any one of us, young or old. We talk about it often, but we put it out of our mind. God, give me eyes to see what you've placed in my path today. Help me, Father, to seize the opportunity. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. And the word that is used, the word that is chosen, is such a powerful word. It is the very word that is used for what Jesus Christ came into this world to do. He came to redeem you. He came to buy you back from the slave market. He came to pay your ransom that you might be set free from your sins, from the penalty of your sin, the condemnation of your sin, and the judgment of your sin, that you might be washed and set free from your sin. But he had to pay a price to do that, didn't he? He had to give himself on Calvary's tree. He had to be made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And there he hung that you and I might be blessed. Oh, help us as we think about that imagery, as we think about today, today while it is called today, help us to have eyes to see what God has placed in front of us, that we might love that one or those ones, that we might bless those ones that are in front of us, that we might be a help and not a hindrance, that we might encourage and not discourage, that we might pray for them and not make matters worse for them, that we might point them the way in our life or in showing them the scriptures. God, give us eyes to see what you have put in our path this year. It's so easy to miss, just like I missed those keys. I still can't believe I did that. How on earth can a man do that? And I did say man. We are known for that. But women are not exempt when it comes to the things we're talking about this morning. God, give us eyes to see. How on earth? How can you explain that? How can you explain that you can go and look twice and look good and move everything in that basket and still not see what you're looking for and yet come back a third time and reach right in and get it without even looking? I don't know. Except maybe God was pleased to give me an illustration to drive home an important point, to begin this new year beseeching God every day, God, give me eyes, bless my eyes, that I might not miss those keys, that I might not miss those opportunities, that I might not miss what you've placed in front of me, that I might see the wife that you've blessed me with, that I might see the children for what they are, gifts from thee. Oh, you've placed them in my care, that I might see those grandchildren as what they are, an heritage of the Lord. They're your property, Lord. Oh my, what a difference that makes as we look upon our children, our grandchildren, as we look upon our spouses, as we look at those that are in our pathway, that God may have placed them there, that he might be pleased to use us to bless you or to bless someone else. To use you to be a vehicle of his grace, of his goodness. To have eyes to see his word. Not just as a word, but as an instruction that came from heaven to you. So that you would know how to get out of the conundrum that you're in. So that you would know how to deal with the circumstances that you find yourself in. The circumstances that you often want to run away from. The circumstances that, by all rights, you should have blown up and destroyed. But God has been merciful, and God has spared you, and God has not given to us, has he? He has not rewarded us in accordance with our iniquity. He has given us another opportunity to make good. Let us make good. Let us have eyes to see. And that's my prayer. That's my message this morning. God, give us eyes to see what you placed before us. Oh, that we might see. I hope I never forget that look, Roy, on your face. Oh, how deep the look. I don't know where your mind was going. I don't know how far back across the 52 years looking into those eyes. That was a look of love. That was a look. And that's
That's how we ought to look when we look into the eyes of the one that God's given us. We ought to look, seeing the gift of God, the blessing of God. Amen. Oh my, how that would change so many relationships, how that would change so many homes, how that would change so many marriages, how that would change the impact on so many children and grandchildren. If we but had eyes to see what God has given us and understand it. I don't think there's anything more important for us to pray this year. God, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see. Oh, may we not miss a single thing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Jesus was speaking of people that had eyes just like you and I have eyes. I didn't get a new set of eyes this morning. When I looked into that basket, I have the same eyes I have right now. So often our eyes don't see. We look right past the obvious. We miss it. How does that happen? I don't understand it. I asked myself a dozen times coming to church, how did that happen? How can it happen? And then it dawned on me, it happens every day, every single day. My desire in this coming year is that it will happen less. It will happen less. And that I will have eyes to see. I remember, maybe you remember, I remember well when I had eyes that did not see. The need. I remember when I did not see the blackness of my sin. I remember when I did not understand that I was a sinner. I remember a day when I could profane God with impunity and have no remorse for it. I remember those days to my shame and discredit. Maybe you're here today and you have never seen. Your eyes have never. You don't understand the danger that you're in your sin. You don't understand the judgment of God that's hanging over your head today. You don't understand that if you walk out these doors and the Lord withdraws his breath from you, that you will expire and you will enter eternity and you will face God in judgment and you will be banished to the devil's hell for all eternity, where Jesus said more than one occasion, there is weeping and wailing and gnashing. Maybe you have never seen that. Maybe today, at the beginning of this new year, God will bless your eyes and you will understand your condition and your desperate need for Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Oh, may God open your eyes to if you have never seen your real condition. Or if your profession of faith has just been something nominal, something in word, it has never been a heartfelt repentance and coming to God in a genuine and saving faith. But maybe your eyes will be open at the beginning of this new year. All of us. I understand by Roy's nod as I began to tell the story about the keys. And all of us can assent that, yes, every day that goes by, we do not see what's in front of us. We miss the opportunities that God has given us. We don't see them for what they are. So often we see those in need as a nuisance or someone who is unfortunate or someone who is getting what they deserve because they have rebelled against God or whatever the case might be. We don't see them as an opportunity. Whatever the case, whatever the need, there's so many applications, so many ways to think about it. This one phrase in Scripture, blessed are your eyes, because they see. God help us this year to see. See the things that are important. See what you've placed in front of us. To see and appreciate the gifts that you've given to us. To see the need to know how to respond. To find the key of prayer in our life and its power.
to find the key of your word that fits exactly the need that we need. Help us to have eyes to see that word and a willing heart to live by that word, to do what you say, even when it doesn't make sense to us. This is my prayer for every one of you today. This is my prayer for me today as we enter this.